Hello and welcome to this video tutorial brought to you by tutvid.com. We're going to take a look at creating a form for use on your website. What is a form? This is a form. A form is an area on your website where people can fill out information and send that information to your server, and sitting on your server will be a script which will then redirect the information. You could store the information in a database. You could shoot the information off to an email to you or to whatever email address you specify. Or you could do both even. So let's take a look at setting this form up. Forms are really great because it's kind of like the connection between you and your website users. You can receive feedback. It really adds an element of interactivity to your website. And it's really a great idea to have because it's really convenient for people. If they do want to send you an email, they can just type their stuff in, press a button, and they're done. They don't have to worry about going and opening up an email program. They don't have to worry about going and signing into their online webmail. Nothing like that. They can just go right in and take care of what they wanted to say or order or whatever and be done with it. Now, in this tutorial, we are not going to take a look at the programming side of setting up a form. Now, the programming side is creating that script that sits on your server, which takes the information from the form we're going to create and tells it what to do. For example, it could say, hey, go send an email to so-and-so and fill in this information from the form. All we're going to take a look at is building the form here in Dreamweaver. So if you need to know how to write a script, that's not what we're going to be covering in this tutorial. Now, if you are interested in learning about that, I can give you a few clues. Usually the kind of scripting that will be used to make one of these forms work is PHP scripting. That's generally what's used, but there are also scripts out there using ASP, CGI, ColdFusion. And there's all kinds of different scripts that you can use and all kinds of different things that they do. Sometimes your web hosting provider will even have free scripts. So sometimes it is worth it to give them a call, explain to them what you need, and they'll usually work with you and help you get something set up if you're not up for learning how to script a PHP program or a script. Okay, so with all that out of the way, let's begin creating our form here in Dreamweaver. Now, the first thing you need to do when setting up a form is you need to define the portion of your site that is going to contain the form. This is, again, something we're going to be doing to help our script know, okay, everything inside of these form tags, I want you to take all of that information and send that, nothing outside of it. So come to the Forms tab. You got the Form toolbar. We have all kinds of different things we can use up here. We're going to first select Form. Now, when I press this button, it's going to insert a form tag wherever my mouse is selected, and you can see that I have right here this cell selected. So I'm going to hit insert form, and now a little dashed red line or dashed red box shows up right there. That's my form. I want to make our form not only functional, but I want it to look good. So I'm going to use a table to lay out the form. I'm going to come back to the common tab, select table. I'm selected inside of my form now, and I'm going to select table. I'm going to set up a table with 8 rows, 2 columns. The width of the table will be 100%. Now, that's not going to do 100% of the screen. That's going to do 100% of the form it is sitting inside of. And I'm also going to give it some cell padding of 6. Hit OK. And we've got this nice little table laid out. First thing I'm going to do, move up to the top of the left-hand column and select that little arrow and choose to select the entire column. Come down to the Properties panel and align this entire thing to the right. Now, do the same for the left or the right-hand columns, excuse me. Select that entire column of cells and align these to the left. Great. Now what we need to do is set up our first text field. Let's go back to the Forms tab, and right here we have text field. All right, now make sure that you're working over to the left-hand side. I'm working on the left-hand cell here. Even though I know that I want the word email, which is going to be our first text field, to sit over on this side, and I want my actual text field to sit over here, I'm going to start over here where I want the name to sit, and you'll see why in just a minute. Select text field, and we get this dialog box. The first thing we need to do is set up an ID. An ID is extremely, extremely important because it is what the script uses to communicate with the form. When it wants to retrieve the information from this text field, it's going to be referring to this text field by its ID or its name. So we're going to give it an ID of email. I'm going to use all lowercase. I'm not going to use any special characters, no spaces, nothing like that. Now the label is the word that is going to appear to the left-hand side of our text field. So we want this to say email, this with a capital E because it's actually going to be showing, and then a colon. And the style, I'm going to attach the label to the tag using the for attribute, and I'm going to position the label before the form item, so that's going to put it to the left-hand side. Hit OK, and you're going to see what we have is our label and our text field. Now, the reason that I'm using labels is, well, for two reasons, actually. It's convenient because Dreamweaver just sets the name right there and it's there for you. But more importantly, it makes for better accessibility for your website. Screen readers can read labels and associate them with the text field or whatever form element it is, for that matter. And it's just in some browsers, not all browsers, but I know Firefox. If I preview this in Firefox and show you, you'll see exactly what I mean. In Firefox, you can simply select the table, and it selects the form element that it is attached to. I'll show you what exactly I mean. Let's save this, hit F12. I'm going to preview this in my default browser, which right here is Firefox. If I select the word email, you can see that right here, the email, I haven't clicked the email input text field yet, but I can just start typing, okay? And it goes into that text field. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so that's the twofold advantage of using labels. I'm going to select this text field and just drag it over to this cell. Now, here is why I started over in this column, not this column, even though I knew that I wanted my text field over on this side. This label is attached to this text field using the for attribute. And if we look down here in the code, which you probably can't see, I have this thing that says label for equals, oops, just messed up the code, for equals email. So it is for the ID or the form element called email. Now if we look down here at this input type field, we can see that the ID is email. That's great, and it stayed that even though I switched cells. If you were to place this over in the right hand cell and then move the label resets itself to something like label for some item called label. So it's just like a label for itself, and you would have to come into the coding view and manually select this and type the word email, and then when you did the next one, you'd have to do the same thing, and then the next one, you'd just keep doing it over and over and over again as you built your form. This way, you can just do it once and be done with it. So, oh, one last thing I want to point out before we move on is you can select that input text field, and you can edit the ID. Okay, you can see that it's also what is called the name of that form element, which in this case is just email. I am going to edit the character width. The maximum or the number of characters that are visible is going to be 35. You're going to see that's going to make our form field get a little bit bigger. The maximum number of characters that can be typed into the field, however, we will put up to something like 90 for an email address text field. Now, let's select this cell below the email tag and insert another text field. We're going to go through these two kind of quickly. The ID for this is going to be name. And the label is going to be name colon. We're going to attach it using the for attribute and position it before the form item. Insert that. Select just the text field. Drag it over. Whoops. Set the character width 35. Maximum characters for a name. We'll set that around 80. That should be plenty for a name. We're going to insert another text field below that. This one is going to be called phone. That's the ID. The label will be phone colon. Attach again using the for attribute and position it before the form item. Hit OK, select that text field, move it over. Character width, again, will be 35 just for the sake of the looks. And the maximum characters we will set to 12. Now, the reason I'm setting maximum characters to 12 is because generally, hey, something happened here. Our little text field moved out of its cell. Generally, set that max characters to 12. As I was saying a moment ago before I got completely sidetracked there, generally, a phone number consists of 10 numbers, but some people like to add the hyphens, so I'm including two hyphens, which 10 plus 2, 12. All right, one thing I just want to check here, I'm going to select this label and make sure it is still attached. This is a label for phone, and this is still phone. Great. It's all connected still. Nothing got messed up. I can save this here and just preview it in my browser, and you can see, well, I can just type in, say, 800-111-1111. And I can't type anything else. So that works perfectly. All right, let's move on here and create a little area on our form where the website user would let this travel agency know how much money they're willing to spend or what their budget is, you know, how much money they're expecting to spend, not expecting to exceed, whatever. Just a budget. So we're going to call this our little budget area. And we're going to have five different selections as far as price ranges. And we're going to only allow one of those things to be selected at a time because obviously you can only afford so much. So let's set that up so you can only select one of five choices. We're going to use a radio group. Select radio group. Notice I have over here this column selected, not the column with all of our labels. Select radio group. Now I'm going to name this radio group budget. That is just like the ID of our text fields. That is what our script is going to use to communicate with this radio group and gather whatever the user selects. So let's start setting some labels here. Our first choice will be less than $1,000. Tab twice. And our next choice will be $1,000 to $2,500. Now hit the plus button to add another button, or you can just hit tab. Oh, no, you can't hit tab. I take that back. Hit plus to add another button and select 2,500 to 5,000. And add another button. This one will be 5,000 to 10,000. And one last button, which will be 10,000 plus. All right, now, that's great. We have our buttons. They're going to work wonderfully, except the problem is that when we actually get the information from this radio group, we won't know which one of these buttons the user has selected. What we need to do is assign a value to each one of these buttons. So basically what the value is, this is what you are going to see. If the user selects less than 1,000, what do you want to be able to read in the email you receive or whatever? What we want to be able to read is just less than 1,000. And then here we'll say 1,000 to 2,500. And over here we'll say 2,500 to 5,000. And here, whoops, didn't want to do that. Let's retype that 5,000 to 10,000. Go over here, and here we will say 5,000 to 10,000. And then here we will just say 10,000 plus. So here is what the user is going to see, the person using your site. And then depending on which button they select, this is what you're going to see. All right, we're going to lay this radio group out using line breaks. Hit OK. And here we go. We have our radio group here. First, or the last thing I'm going to do before we go test this is I'm just going to write or type your budget colon. Now let's save it. Preview it in our default browser. All of our other fields work fine. And here we have budget, less than 1,000, 1,000 to 2,500. Let's say 1,000 to 2,500. Okay, but then we realize that we have more money or we have less money than that. So let's say we have less, then we have to choose less than 1,000. And you can see it deselects 1,000 to 2,500. Then a family member hits a jackpot and we can choose 10,000 or whatever. The point is you can choose any one of these, but you can only choose one of them. Okay, every time you select one, if you change from a different one, it deselects everything else. And that's really great because only the button that is selected is read by the script automatically. So if one of these or one of these will be selected, all the others will just be ignored and only the one that's selected will be read. So that is why we're going to use radio buttons for that type of thing. All right, the next thing we need to do is set up a little drop-down menu asking the users how many travelers there'll be. And this is going to be pretty easy. It's going to be a combination of setting up a text field and a radio group. To come up here, well, once again, notice that I selected this left-hand column. It's because this will accept the label. Select list or menu, not jump menu, just list or menu. We're going to set an ID of travelers. We're going to choose the label of, or we'll say number of travelers, colon. We're going to attach this using the for attribute and position it before the form item as we've been doing. Hit OK. Here we go, number of travelers, and we've got this nice little drop-down menu. Select the drop-down menu and drag it over into the other cell. Now, this is just an empty drop-down menu. Now, before we start adding stuff to it, I just want to point out some things down here in the Properties panel that you can do with drop-down menus. You can convert it from a menu to a list. You can choose the height of the list. Let's say I set 3 as my height. You can see that stretches that out. And as I add values, it's going to start becoming stacked in there, and I'm going to get a little scroll bar here so I can scroll and look through the list. I personally don't really like that. The only reason I would use that is because lists allow for multiple selections. If the user holds down the Control key or Command if you're on the Mac, you can select multiple items in your list. Whereas menus, it's one selection, which is really what we want here, because we don't want people to be able to say there's going to be 5 and 6 and 7 travelers, because then it would start getting confusing. Okay, so we're going to use a menu type list here, or a menu type menu, not a list, and we're going to set some list values. And this dialog box is a lot like our radio button dialog box, where we set an item value, say of 1, then, or set an item, excuse, or an item label to 1, and then the value we read is just 1. Because if the user says there's going to be 1 traveler, we just need to know 1. Number of travelers, 1. All right, now in here you don't have to use the plus button. This is why I was getting confused with the radio buttons there. You can just use the tab key, and it will create a new entry. Now we'll say 2, and I'm just using tab again. Set a value, tab, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whoops, set the value of 8 to 8, and 9, 10, and 10 plus, I'll say 10 plus. Now we're going to set one last label item, and that's just going to be the word choose, and we're going to put 3 periods there. And we're not going to set a value for that. We're going to select this, and we're going to use these arrow keys to move it up the list all the way up to the top. We're going to hit OK. Then we're going to select the word choose here in the initially selected box, because that is what we want people to see when they get to this form. We need them to know, okay, use this menu to choose your number of travelers. Let's save this and preview it in the browser. Hit F12. And you can see number of travelers choose. Select the drop-down menu, and I can choose all the way up to 10 plus. Great. All right, now we're going to set up an area for people to type additional comments, additional information that they would like you to know. So let's select text area. Notice I'm putting this in the cell to the left, because this, again, is going to have a label, text area. The ID of this will just be comments, and the label will be comments, colon. And here we will say attach the label tag using the for attribute and position it before the form item. There we go. We've got our label and our form, which is quite large. We are going to drag the form over into the other cell. And we're going to set the character width to 26. All right, now 26 is not just a random number. It's a number that, experimenting with a few minutes ago, I found matches this width of 35 for the rest of these when you preview it in the browser. Now that is without this scrolling bar. But we just want our form to look good. Let me just save it here and show you what I'm talking about. Hit F12, and you can see out here in the browser, it lines up pretty much exact with the edge of those text fields. Let's close that. Select this again. Now, whoops, select that comment box or the text field, and now the number of lines, that's just the number of lines visible. That's not the number of lines that can be typed. That's just the number of lines that are visible. I can reduce that to, let's say, 3, and you can see it gets smaller. I'm going to leave it at 5, though. We're going to leave the word wrap to default, and over here, that's the name of the text field, that ID that we set. So that's that. Next thing we're going to do is set up a little checkbox asking users, hey, would you like to be subscribed to our online newsletter? So let's come up here to the Forms toolbar and choose Checkbox. Now this checkbox I am placing over to the right in one of these right-hand cells. Select the checkbox. We're going to give it an ID of newsletter, and a label of would you like to, or we'll just say subscribe to our free online newsletter, exclamation point. All right, so that is the label. We're going to attach this label to the tag using the for attribute. But positioning, we're going to position this after the form item. Now, the reason we're going to do this with the checkbox, and matter of fact, it's set default to do that, because most of the time with little buttons like this, as you can see with our radio buttons, you get the button, and then you get the information about the button. So that's why we're going to do after the form item. Hit OK. And you can see we have subscribed to our free online newsletter, little checkbox. Now select that checkbox. Okay. The value of this checkbox, which is what you will receive as information, is currently empty. We need to set some kind of value. Now, generally speaking, a checkbox is going to be a yes or no. It's checked or it's unchecked. If it's checked, nothing happens. But if it's checked, what do you want to know? In this case, we're just going to type subscribe me. I'm not putting a space in there. I'm just leaving it as one whole word. And the initial state of this checkbox will be unchecked. I'm going to leave it that way. However, you can change to checked. Some people like to do this hoping that you will be too lazy to uncheck it or not feel like unchecking it and sign up for their free online newsletter. I personally hate it when that happens, so I'm going to leave that unchecked. All right, I'm going to save this. Hit F12 to preview up my browser, and I've got a nice little checkbox there. I can click and unclick as many times as I want. Okay, last thing to do for this form, well, second last thing actually, is set up a submit and a clear form button. Let's set up the clear form button first. It is kind of a courtesy actually to set up this kind of button that basically just wipes everything that the user has typed into the form out of the form. Okay, it might not sound like a courtesy, but it actually is, because if you go through the form and you put all kinds of messed up information and you realize you got to change it all, especially on forms that are, you know, really long — this is not a very big form — but on forms that are very long, it is nice to be able to go back and just clear the entire form out if you completely mess it up. So we're going to choose button. I'm setting this over here in the left hand cell. I'm going to choose button. We will set an ID for this button of clear, as in clear form. We're not going to worry about the label here. The label doesn't really do anything for this button. We're going to attach the label using for attribute, etc., etc., etc. We just want to worry about the ID here. Hit OK. And we've got a little submit button. Okay, our first problem is this is not supposed to be a submit button. We want this to clear the form. So let's select the button. And we got some options here. Number one, we have a value and then the action. In this case, we want to reset the form. So that changes to a reset button. That's nice. But we want to change the value. The value is what the button actually says. So let's say reset form, exclamation point. And you can see reset form right there. And when it gets pressed, it simply resets the form. Great. Select the cell over here to the right-hand side. Place a button in there. Let's give this the ID of submit. Hit OK. And we're going to say the value will be submit form, exclamation point. Or we could just say send email, exclamation point, if you'd like to really put it in perspective. Let's say action will be to submit the form, and the button name is just submit. Okay, so there we go. Let's just save this and preview this in our browser. Okay, we've got our reset form button, so I can come through here and I could say, you know, whoever at whatever, and my name, Nathaniel, and your phone number, it could be whatever. You know, you just go through and put a bunch of numbers in, and you mess it up, and 10,000 plus, the number of travelers will be eight, and, you know, all kinds of comments. Hey, and subscribe to the free online newsletter. And then you realize, hey, wait a minute, that's a bunch of fake information I just put in. I actually need to put real information. So then you hit reset form, and you can go through and put real information. Close that tab and go back to Dreamweaver. All right, one more thing you need to know about your forms before you can get them ready for that script, or to really get them ready for that script. What you need to do is select the form. So I'm just going to select inside of any of these cells, and using my little code hierarchy bar here, I'm going to move back till I see the form tag. When I select that, it actually selects the form. And in here, in my form properties area, I have a few options: action, method, target. Those are going to be the three we're going to look at here. And actually, not really target, mainly just action and method. Target can do the underscore blank, underscore parent, underscore self, and top, but that really, you're not going to understand what that does unless we actually had this set up to a script, so we're going to kind of ignore that for now. Action, this is the script that will process the form. So it might look something like this. We're going to say http://// www.tutvid.com/ scripts, although some websites have a specific place where they keep scripts, and it is called cgi-bin/emailscript.php or .asp or whatever your script is. And then the method is either get or post. Most of the time, if you're sending an email, you're going to be using the post method. So we're going to leave it at post for now. And that's it. Then this is ready to be sent off to whatever script, and that script will then process it and fire off an email to whatever email address is specified inside of the script or whatever. But long story short, we have just set up a web form, and that's how you do it. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. And please go check out the website. That's www.tutvid.com. Thank you very much for watching.